Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever been a victim of racism or any form of abuse? Do you have some unanswered questions or just want to build with some like-minded warriors? The Initiative Radio Network is here to help guide you into your perseverance. We are here to encourage, enlighten, love, and uplift one another. Our team of warriors are here to help change the conditions of our people and our communities. We are here to help you find peace for your pain and shed light for your shame. Here at the Initiative Radio Network, we are not just a blog talk radio network. We have transformed into a movement. We are not just talkers. We are doers. We are doing this out of love and freedom for our people. Tune in every day on Blog Talk Radio, starting on Monday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Empress Michelle L. with the Empress Michelle L. Show. On Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Brother Anthony with the Aunt Cannery Experience. On Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Brother Muhammad, Who Did That to You?, with the roundtable discussion with Dr. James Jones, along with his co-host, Sister Pam Muhammad. On Thursday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Empress Michelle L., along with co-host Sister Missy. Your voice should be heard. On Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Brother Jeff with the Just Us program. On Saturday, from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Sister Missy with Breaking Every Chain. Sister Missy also airs the Sister Initiative with Sister Maha and Black King's Appreciation Day with Sister Christina. On Sunday, from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Sister Shamika Robinson, Remnant Peculiar Israelite. You can like us on Facebook at the Initiative Radio Network. The call-in number to join in these discussions is 914-803-4571. Let's build, let's love, let's change our community. The Initiative Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. It is Shamika Robinson. Today is that, well, if you celebrate it, you know, I'm not going to act so holy that I can't say Happy Valentine's Day. The world does, so Happy Valentine's Day for those that celebrate it. If you don't, you don't. I mean, you know, hey. Today is just obviously February 14th, 2016. Just to give you a little background, I'm 40 years old. I'm the mother of one male son. I'm self-employed. I work from home making all body products, hair products, face products. I am not a pastor. I am not a Christian, nor do I follow any type of organized religion. I am a spiritual person, and I am a bloodline Israelite. I don't proclaim to be a teacher. I am just learning and growing in the word, studying, and I host shows, and I invite you to take the journey with me. So thank you so much. And according to the numbers, you have been taking a journey with me. Thank you so much. I always appreciate, whether you agree with me or not, to click in or, you know, view the show. It is absolutely amazing. Fortunately, with this thing called life and us human beings, is there is not going to be one person that you totally agree 100% with everything that comes out of their mouth. And it's okay. You know, and vice versa. And that's okay, but the bottom line is that we can study and grow together. So that's what practically all my shows is about. I don't proclaim to know everything. I definitely do not. And you either agree with me or you don't. And if you don't, tell me why. I always welcome everyone's opinion. Now, if you're demonic, you will be rebuked. Having said that, I like to open all my shows in prayer. Precious Father, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be used as your vessel to discuss with the understanding and get to the root of every matter that you place in my heart to discuss. I also pray for blockage. I pray that no seed will fall and be eaten up by the enemy. Thank you so much for the circumcised heart. Thank you so much for circumcised ears and eyes that you have been sending to this nice road called straight that you have set up for us. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. Now, today is a little special. Those that follow me know that I usually don't have hosts. I used to have William used to join me, Brother Malcolm used to join me, and that was like a consistent thing. But, you know, today is a little special because I do have a host named Curtis Lee. Curtis, thank you so much for joining me today, and you are more than welcome to introduce yourself. And just so you know, Curtis, I like to get people's age and spiritual background. That way I can understand why people answer and have a certain beliefs, and, you know, it just helps me understand who I'm talking to and dealing with
right.
when I know that
right.
age, location, where you're from, your little, you know, background, and are you a father, you know, I like to know those details because it matters in what your opinions are.
Okay, so my name is Curtis Lee. I'm originally from Kansas City, Missouri. I now live in Philadelphia, PA. I'm 35, well, I'll be 35 years old next month. I have two children, a 13-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Okay.
I grew up as a Christian. The older that I got, though, and I started to investigate religions and different beliefs that everybody has, I started fading away from all religions. And now
okay.
I just believe that there is a God, because the names, we all, one thing that I've come to realize is that every religion calls a Jesus or whatever a name, but we all talk about the same person. So I grew up in a religious church, a very big church. Like my church, if I was to say the name of my church, you would know exactly what church I went to. That's how
wow.
big the church is. But
nice.
The older that I got, I started realizing that religions are man-made and put in place to separate people from knowledge.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And it also forces us to take a side.
Right. You have to take a side when you're in religion. Also, I
That's
have my
right.
own. I also have my own Blog Talk radio show. We air Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. We air Tuesdays. Through Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays is my show, and then on Wednesdays at from 10 to 11, we have a battle league that's from all of the United States of America. We have a battle league, well, battlers that's a part of it that's from everywhere, and basically I started my radio station to promote underground artists because I'm an artist myself. I write music. I'm a producer. I do a lot of different things. I'm a shoe designer. I do a lot of different things. But I started my radio station off by promoting underground artists. And it went from promoting underground artists in Philadelphia to promoting underground artists from all over the world. So when you call into my radio show, for instance, this Thursday coming up, we're going to have a producer that was a producer for Manny Fresh, Michael Jackson, and a couple different other artists. So we have big name producers, we have underground artists, we have big name artists. I also have other blog talk radio stations that I'm a part of that I was with before I started my own, such as Air It Out Radio Station, A Blast Your Thoughts, Next to Blow. I'm a part of all those radio stations because I started with them before I started my own Blog Talk radio station. And basically what my radio station is that we talk about the problems that are in the black community. Don't get me wrong, I'm not racist in no type of way, but I'm for my people. Forget everybody else, because when it's all said and done, they come from us. So we have to take care of ourselves first before we can deal with anybody else. So that's basically my background. Yeah, and my family is from Louisiana. The name of my show is called Behind the Scenes Radio, and on Wednesdays, it's called High Standards Battle League. And the number is 917-889-9112. Make sure that you press 1 if you want to talk.
917-889-9112. Can you give me the times on the Tuesday show? Because that's the next one coming up, right?
Yes, ma'am. Well, we air Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
So the Tuesday slot is what time?
Tuesdays is 10 o'clock to 10 to 12. All the shows is from p.m. All the shows is at nighttime. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, 10 p.m. to what time?
10 to 12.
All right, I'm going to check you out. That's why I'm trying to figure out. I'll call in Tuesday, and I'll check you out. I'm usually up at that time. I'm like a old lady. I get in the bed early. But I can I'll try to check you out this Tuesday from 10 to 12. Okay, thank you so much for that information. And, and it's so funny you said that, because that's exactly what the Initiative Radio Network is about. There's a bad misconception that when people are becoming pro-black, that means they're racist, and that's not what the case is. It's just, you're just cheering for your team, and it's nothing wrong with cheering for our own team. And that's what the separation and the problem is we never cheer for our own team. We were so busy, begging the other teams to give us scores and goals, instead of making them ourselves. So that's exactly what the Initiative Radio Network is all about. And I also have my own radio network called Remnant Peculiar Israelites. And on that show, I have them, because it's my own network, I host shows random times. But lately, it's been 2 o'clock every day, Monday through Friday. I'm doing an end time prophecy series on Isaiah. So if you get some time, or if you don't have the time to tune in then and there, that show, I usually don't open up the line. It's only a half hour, 45 minutes. I always take my 15 minutes overtime. But so I don't open up those lines. I just teach on Isaiah, and then I just keep it moving. So if you have time, click on one of the shows and tell me what you think. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
So again, thank you so much for joining me today, Curtis. Today's show title is, why does bad things happen to good people? We have been hearing this all our lives, and it's finally time to answer the question. And before I do, and just so you know, Curtis, I'm not one of those Bible thumpers and those holy art thou people. Even though I get the reputation for that, that is so not me. However, what I do is get to the root of the matter. And since our roots started with God, He is the creator of the universe, I like to hear what His word has to say about every topic that I teach on. So just so you know. And get into answering this question, I like to go over 7 rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to the words of prophecy as you do the words of history. Third rule, do not seek for hidden meaning. Fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. Fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. Sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. So, I like to read those off, because this is why everyone's so filled with false doctrines, false nonsense, because everyone wants to be their own interpreter. Everyone wants to, be self-righteous and all sorts of stuff. And that's why I wanted to have this show. Why does bad things happen to good people? And before I get into, what I have to say about it, would you like to take a crack at it? Obviously we have 2 hours to discuss our opinions back and forth, but initially, would you like to set it off and give at least, I'm going to say, 1 reason why you think bad things happen to good people?
Well, the research that I've did, first of all, we have to realize that where we come from. Second of all, we have to realize where we're going. And you have to realize that things trickle down from history. So if your parents were messed up and then you try to change, everything that your parents did messed up comes down on you. So you might be
that's
a good person, but some things that your parents did wasn't all that good, so that trickles down on you, and you might get killed for something that happened 20 years ago and don't even know why. So that's probably, well, I think that may, I may be wrong, this is just my opinion, but I feel like things happen to good people because of what happened before them.
That's
just my opinion.
That's right. Actually, that is definitely one reason. I can have a medium coffee with milk and sugar. A medium coffee with milk and sugar. You're right. That is definitely one of the reasons. Yep. Do you know? I'll do it on the side. Thank you. Just give me five sugars, five milk. I'm sorry. I'm trying
to milk.
Whatever. It's fine.
Okay,
so you want five sugars? Yeah. On the side, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Curtis, do you know anyone that you would consider to be a good person but is in and out of a hospital or always you always hearing bad news about something that's happening in their life?
I know a lot of people, but I don't mess with a lot of people. I'm a loner because I'm a loner for one reason and one reason only, because people can't take the truth. When you keep it real with them, usually the person that keeps it the realest, usually everyone hates because they don't want to hear the truth. They want lies. When people say
that
people want, when most people that keep it real usually are the ones that get hated the most because people don't want the truth. They want watered-down sugar. What is it called? How my dad used to say it. They want it. Chocolate covered truth. They don't want the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They want it sugar coated and watered down. So I usually stay to myself. But I do know some people, yeah, that, like, for instance, my homeboy's daughter right now is fighting for her life on what is it called, life support. And she's only 7 months old. Why is this little girl on life support and she's only 7 months old? You feel me? So that's one main thing right there. The little girl, she knows no evil, no good, no bad, but she's on life support. So what?
And I'm sorry that she's dealing with that and your friend is dealing with that. That is definitely hardcore. And that's why it is actually important to get these answers like this answered as to, you know, why is something like that going on? Because there's a reason behind everything. Okay? And a lot of us just don't know the reason, or we don't even bother to ask. We like to chuck things up and just say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. Or I just was given a bad, you know, hand. But there are people, I don't know if you're familiar with the game of spades, but there are people who do have a bad hand and they can still win the game of spades because they know how to play it correctly. Do you agree or
right.
you disagree with that?
I agree with you totally. It's the same like how you said in spades. Can't nobody play your hand better than you, but if you play it the way you can get a terrible hand and still pull five books because you know how to play it.
That's right. I've always had not the greatest hand, but I can stick them and make them lose. Sometimes it's not about winning every single thing. It's just about making the other person lose.
Right.
Whether they reneged because they didn't make they look, you know, whatever the case may be. You can play
right.
your hand correctly and come out on top. So
right.
That's what this show is about. Thank you so much. It's to find out the answers to. Thank you. Thank you. Can I have another splash of milk? I'm sorry. Yeah, just one more splash. To find out the answers. I'm sorry. And McDonald's trying to have this show a little crazy. And that's perfect. And a spoon, too. Thank you so much.
Well, believe me, I understand. When I first, I've been doing my radio show now for, it'll be 4 years. When I first started, I started with the free 30-minute shows, and I was having to do it out of the library Yeah, I was doing it out of the library, and then it would get so loud because I would be talking or whatever and be really into what I was talking. They kicked me out the library, so then I had to find somewhere else to do it. To where
That's
it got
right.
to the point where I said, you know what, I just got Wi-Fi at my house and or got Wi-Fi on my phone and did it off my phone, so I don't
That's
have
right.
to deal with nobody else's, you know. So I understand
exactly.
totally.
Exactly. But, yeah, you are absolutely right. You hit on something that I can identify with. You said you stay to yourself. That's me, too. I stay, you know, I live in the Poconos. I'm not sure if you've ever been to the Poconos, but it's a very secluded, wooded area. You know, I have my friends in Long Island when I want to be with my friends. And then, for the most part, I stay in my house, and I work from home, and I live a very simple life. I'm practically off-grid. Besides electricity and water and a cabin house, I practically live grid, and I like that. It's very peaceful. You know, that way you get an understanding of who I am. Yeah, I'm very simple. I lived a glamorous life all my life, and now that I'm 40 years old, I'm getting into peace more. I'm getting more into spirituality. You know, things are just being revealed to me. I'm trying to get prepared. You know, it is the ending time. It's time to be prepared. So, you know, that's who I am. That's who I am. I mean,
right.
I like analyzing things. I definitely like analyzing everything. And but again, back to the show now. All my life, I've heard this question about why does bad things happen to good people? But what I was able to do, even as a little girl, was to ask myself, well, what makes them good? Who says they're good? You know what I'm saying? Who says
right.
they're good? You know, we have people saying, oh, you know, the next door neighbor lady, you know, she's an old lady. She's so sweet. But, you know, she's going through this. She's going through that. Who says she's good just because she's an old lady and she lives next door to you? You know what I mean? Who says
right.
she's good? So those were the questions that I was able to ask myself. And say to myself, well, who says these people are good? And for us to say good things happen to bad people, that's almost saying God missed the bus or God let the ball drop. You understand what I'm saying? Because the word says, you know, the word says differently. And I'm not going to say good things never happen to good people. Well, Abel was the first one. He was good. You know, very good. God loved him. God favored him, and he got killed. So I can't say that, no, bad things don't happen to good people. Abel was one of them. That was just Abel. You know what I mean? If we go down the list, we'll find fault with everyone's character. You know what I mean? And then that's where the bad thing comes in. Unfortunately, that's just the way how it works. God says that no curse would come without a cause. So if someone, whether it be us or someone else, is going through something, there is definitely a reason for that curse. Let's call it what it is. It's called a curse. If you're in and out of a hospital, you have been cursed. If you are, you know, whatever, that is called a curse. It's not really a bad thing. It's we need to, and the reason why we have to title it correctly is because then we can get the cure correctly. We can get the correct cure. You know, that is called
right.
a curse. So let's
right.
say, for example, let's say your friend, and like I said, this is such a sensitive issue because it is your friend. It's a personal matter. But let's just say, you know, because that's horrible. You know, you said she's
right.
a 7-month-old baby and they're in now. That is called a curse. Okay,
right.
they have been cursed. And what they need to do is, like, what happens with people like that is they start to curse God or blame God instead of saying to themselves, Father God, you blessed us with this baby, and it is your responsibility to take care of her and reveal to us how we need to better take care of her. So we need you right now to speak a word to us, so we can rectify this problem immediately. It is not in your will for us to be in and out this hospital like that. You know what I mean? And that's even if they
right.
even believe in God. So what I found out through the years with people asking the same question or always commenting every time somebody's in the hospital, and again, it may sound like a precious little baby, or it may sound, but I always was able to see the other side. Always. And it was usually self-inflicted. It was usually a self-inflicted curse. You know what I'm saying? So that's why
the parent
it's important.
Did something or
always
sorry, my fault. I'm
self-inflicted.
Sorry.
You're right. Always self-inflicted. There is something, you know, what God does is he gets with, you know, he does it the way we can't see it. He knows the heart. Okay, and I'm not saying because our heart is bad then God curses us. That's a bad misconception. What happened is when there's a glitch in the heart, Satan will then come up and say to God, you know what? They don't appreciate that baby. I'm going to take that baby. And then let's say if they really don't appreciate, I'm just giving an example with an innocent little baby, you know what I mean? Or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Satan will go to God and ask for permission to cause havoc in people's like that life. And unfortunately, they never try to figure out what the correct antidote is. They'll just continue to keep going to the hospital as opposed to saying to God, you need to explain to me why we in and out this hospital with this miracle you blessed us with. You know what I mean? Like instead of getting to the root, they never do. So that's why I wanted to have this show. We need to figure out what is going on so we can stop saying, oh, you know, bad things are happening to good people. No, what we need to analyze and judge, and I don't mean judge the person, but judge the situation, is say, damn, I'm seeing so-and-so being attacked, but damn, I also seen why she's being attacked. For example, I have someone in my family that was sleeping with a married man. And then one day I was with her and I heard her comment about the guy's wife. And she was like, look at her, she's so fat and ugly, talking about his wife. And don't you know, Curtis, within a matter of months, this person started looking, I'm talking about blew up. You know, when I say blow up, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just
right.
Like to eat. I'm talking about blew up right in my face overnight. You would have thought she had a baby overnight, okay?
Man.
And she started looking exactly how the person she was making fun of looked. And to this day, I want to go to her and say, listen, you know, I never forgot what you said that day. And what made me not forget it is, not only was you sleeping with this woman's husband, and then you're making fun of her, but you don't notice how you started looking just like her? Like, you ain't getting it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to say that to her so bad so that she doesn't have to look like that anymore. This is why it's important we get these antidotes, because she doesn't have to look like that anymore. She has to say to herself, she has to say to God, I'm sorry, God. I didn't realize how wicked of me that was, to not only be sleeping with this woman's husband, but then to make fun of her. I repent and please forgive me. And then she can drop that weight. You get it? This is why she looks like, and I know that. This is why she looks like that. And again, you can offend people by saying that. You know, you got to be careful. You say, girl, you want to know why you gained all that weight overnight? You don't remember when you said, because I remember it like it was yesterday. Because when she said it, that's the first thing I thought of was, oh, how dare you? Not only are you sleeping with her husband, but now you're going to make fun of her. You know what I mean?
Wait, hold on.
And then,
You said that she was sleeping with her husband?
Yeah, sleeping with the lady's husband.
Oh, and then, wow.
And then she was trying to do was point the lady out to me. She was like, oh, there go his wife over there. Look at her. She's so fat and ugly. And I was like, oh. And I was a little offended by that. You know what I'm saying? I was a little offended by that because, again, not only are you sleeping with her husband, but now here you are making fun of her. You know what I mean? Because the lady was, you know, she was big. You know, but my thing was, don't be made, you know, just because you slim, you know, like I said, it was a little touchy subject for even me. You know, and I'm not a perfect person either. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, come on, don't be damn near about to take the woman's husband and then now you want to make fun of her. You know what I mean? To me, it was that was wicked times too. And again, I got to see her transform and start looking just like her.
Like, wow.
You know what I mean?
So that was like, to you, like you're getting to see what she was talking about. But then,
yep.
Right, for yourself.
Yep.
And then be like, well,
yep.
Look what you talked about somebody. Look what's happening to you now.
Thank you. So thank God, even as a little girl, I had this wisdom. And again, I'm not saying I'm perfect and I always made right decisions. That's not what I'm saying. However, what I'm saying is I was able to judge myself. Like, yes, I was sleeping with a married man, but I was able to judge myself. You know what I'm saying? When you
right.
judge yourself, then you don't have to be judged. You can say to God, you know what? Please forgive me for that. I don't even know why I did that. And that was very selfish of me to have this man, you know, laying up in my bed, and I knew he was mad. You know, sorry, God. You know, I repent of that, and I'll make sure I won't do that again. You know what I mean? That's called judging yourself as opposed to justifying yourself. You know, we get confused with judging ourselves and justifying ourselves. And by her saying this, his wife is fat and ugly, what she was trying to do was justify why he wants her. You get it?
Right, and that was wicked times.
You know what I'm saying? And that was wicked times, too. So that's what I was able to see. And like I said, even as a little girl, all throughout, all I would hear people say is, oh, I can't believe this person's going through this. And why, oh, they're so nice. And they said, but I was able to see a different side of that person that they were saying that was nice. Always. So that's the first thing is, stop saying people are good. Okay? Let's stop saying who we think is good. You know? Let's
right.
stop doing that. Because once we stop doing that, and ourselves too, let's stop even calling ourselves good. Oh, I'm so, you know, because I used to say that too. All I do is drink and smoke. You know, I haven't committed a murder. You know, I don't sell drugs. I don't do this. I don't do that. Like, I used to always, only say all I do is drink and smoke weed from time to time. But when you start justifying your actions, it takes you out of the realm of judging yourself because you take the mirror down. So that's what this show is. Hopefully, I'm going to point out some things. And by the end of this show, what it's designed to do is have all of us hold up a mirror in front of our face and look at ourselves. And then ask ourselves, are we good? Are we really good? Or are we just self-righteous? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's
what I know I'm not.
My,
I know I'm not perfect. I make mistakes every day, and I judge no man. But
that's
you can take that mess over there, though. You know, I don't judge nobody, but you can take
exactly.
that mess over there.
Word. Yeah, we ain't got to put up with it now.
Right. That's like,
exactly.
Oh, for instance, right? I ran into a problem today, right, on Facebook, right? Because I'm in like over 700 different groups on Facebook because I promote a lot or whatever, right? So
okay.
I was in this one group, and this guy, I didn't know that it was a guy at first. It was
mm-hmm.
a guy with makeup on his face. He was bald headed. At first, I thought that it was a woman with cancer, but I asked, like, is that a guy? And so
mm-hmm.
everybody jumped on me like I'm a gay bash. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking like, you can do whatever the hell you want to. God going to judge you for that. Just don't bring it over here. But
exactly.
I was, the only thing that I was asking was, is that a man?
Yeah.
And they took it as, oh, yeah, that's a man. And what you trying to say, what, something wrong with him? I'm like, hold on. Like, I just asked a question. Like, I didn't, it's just people jump to conclusions so fast, Joe. It's just crazy.
Yes.
But my fault, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening
yeah.
to you. I'm listening to you. We can take our time because we got, like I said, this is a 2-hour show. So you definitely have time to talk and share. You know, we can take our time and really analyze and get this situation. Like I said, in all my shows, what I like everyone to take, I don't like no one to join my show and leave the show exactly the way they came in. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want them to actually hold up a mirror and say to themselves, really bad things happening to good people? Or did you misjudge? And it's always misjudged. And like I said, to say
right.
anything different, besides the little exclusive situations, like I said, Abel, you know, in our lives, there are good people that just, you know, and we'll get into why bad things happen to those people that are good.
That was, you know, even we'll like even like in the Bible, what was his name? Job, I think it was. He lost everything that he had. He lost cattle. He lost his family. And I remember somebody said to him, why don't you curse? I think it was his wife. They said, why don't you curse your God? And he was like, I'll never curse my God. At that point in my life, I probably would have cursed God. Because, I mean, he had sores all over his body. He lost everything. He had, but God also said, for you not cursing me, I'm going to bless you with even more than what you had before.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. It's so funny you brought up Job, because I did a series on what happened to Job, and I went line for line dissecting it. I mean, I already knew the answer to the question. It's actually the answer to life. And it was just simple. In Job chapter 38, verse 12 and 13, God asked Job, have you commanded your mornings? And it's a question that a lot of us never paid attention to. We just read it and skipped over it because it was so much happening in Job that we just kind of, you know, skipped right over that question. But it was the million-dollar question. It was the most important question that anyone could ever ask you throughout your life. And it's also something that I get up every morning faithfully and do. When you command your morning, it's, what does that mean? Is you get up in the middle of the night, you know, between 3 and 4. This morning, God woke me up at 2:30. You know, but, you know, usually God will wake you up, or if, you know, he doesn't, then you set your clock. You have to get up in the middle of the night before dawn and before day spring and command your mornings. And what that does is there's spiritual rules that we don't know about. Satan is the ruler of darkness. God, obviously, is the ruler of the day. And there's a lot of things he sets up for us during the night that is awaiting us when we wake up in the morning. Now, if you wake up, get, you know, speak over your day ahead of time before daylight breaks, every single thing the enemy had set up to you has to take a back seat for 24 hours until the next morning. No one knows that. You understand? Not too many people know that. And it's called commanding in the morning.
I have a question for you.
Sorry.
I ask everybody this question that's into religions and stuff like that. So I got one question, and I've never got a straightforward answer from nobody. Who were we serving before we were put into captivity by the white man? Before slavery, what God was we serving? Who were we? Because I hear a lot of people say the Bible and all this stuff, but who were we worshiping before the white man brought the Bible to us? Because that's who introduced the Bible to black people, to African slaves, was the white man. So before slavery began, who was we worshiping before the white man introduced us to the Bible?
Well, that is a mouthful. First of all, we need to separate who is the we, because the we can mean we as in black people, and when you say we as in black people, you also need to separate that, because there was Israelites, there were Egyptians, you know. So we need to separate which black people are you referring to. So that's the first thing.
The black people that came over here on ships, which is our ancestors, which is my ancestors, your ancestors, whatever black people came over here on them ships, I know one thing. We was not worshiping God, Jesus. We didn't have no Holy Bible in Africa. I know that.
Well, what I'm going to say to you is, if you follow the Bible and if you ever read the Bible and not have, and I'm not saying you, I'm just saying whomever, if you've ever read the Bible and have read it yourself and not have other people tell you what's in there, what you will find out is that it's all about black people, all of it. And I mean every single word of it. And from Adam on down the whole family tree. And also it discusses the captivity that we were in, and it also discusses the reason why we were in captivity. So to answer your question, who were we serving before slavery? We were serving the Creator, Jehovah Yahweh. And the Bible was not given to us by white man. The Bible was always around. Even Moses was writing, you know, when he went up for 40 days and 40 nights, that's what he was writing. He was writing the first five books. So what the difference is now and then is they actually had direct contact with God years ago. And if they didn't have direct contact, there was a prophet or a person that did have direct contact. For example, there was Abraham, for example, was one of them. Noah was another one. Moses, Joshua, you know, we can go on down the list. Samuel, you know, so there was always a leader selected, a prophet selected, right, to guide them, right, into where they needed to be. So you need to understand, okay, that. And now as far as them giving us the Bible, that's not what happened. What it was is that they know that they were taking us in captivity. Allowed by the Creator, allowed. And it's so funny because I just did a show on this. Check out my show titled Were We Slaves or Hostages? And then that'll make it so crystal clear. I did two shows, actually. The one is called Why They Hate Us So Much. Okay, and that explains who
because they
that
know
Bible
they come
talking
from
about.
Us.
And then the second show is called Were We Slaves or Hostages? And it's very important to understand the difference. There is a difference, from being a slave, and there's a difference between being a hostage. So you've got to check those shows out, brother, and then you'll see how when you said them giving us the book, they didn't give us the Bible. What they said was, I don't want that shit because that shit is about y'all. Here, take this. And it's a misconception that they taught us about Christianity. That's so untrue. The Bible does not discuss Christians. That title Christian didn't come until New Testament, and it wasn't even Jesus calling them that. Some people that didn't even walk with Jesus called them Christians. We were called either Israelites or we were called Hebrews. So
right.
when you're dealing with Christians or people, that is called religion. That is called religion. You know, so it's a big difference between spirituality and religion.
And religion.
I also did a show, discerning each one, religion and spirituality. So it's very, very, very important. So, okay, back to your question. Now that we've separated that, who are we serving before the Bible? We've direct contact with the Creator. And I mean direct contact with the Creator. You know, years ago, people knew that we serve a talking God. You know, he may be invisible, but so is wind. Wind is invisible, but you can still feel it and you can also hear it. So is the Creator. We can, he doesn't show his face anymore, but he definitely talks back. He definitely will respond back to you. Definitely. Definitely. I talk to him myself. That's why I know that. I do.
Right.
So there's no such
Did
thing
you
as
ever,
they gave us the book. Sorry?
Have you ever thought that maybe you were talking to yourself or to the universe and not to a God? That's a white man. I hear what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. But then think about it like this, right? God, because I know where you're about to go to. The reason that we was put into slavery is because we didn't follow the commandments that Moses gave to the Israelites. But still, we are made in God's image. So if we're assholes, that means that God is an asshole too, because we're made in his image. So how can you put someone in slavery that is just like you? And how
let me ask
can
you a question.
Let... Yes, ma'am.
You have children, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, if your children tried to take over your household, what would you do?
He got to get out.
And by take over your household, I mean like start hitting you and disrespecting you and walking around like that's you know what I'm saying? Extremely disrespectful.
Like
how
kids are. Yeah, they're
not. No. But I'm just asking, what would you do?
Kick his butt.
Can they still live there?
Huh?
But after you kick their butt and they still keep doing it and they won't stop and they're actually getting worse, what would you do?
Eventually, they got to go.
And where are they gonna go?
I don't know, but they got to go somewhere. Got to get the hell up out of
yes.
my house.
Where would they? Where can they go? Where can they go?
The streets. I'll let the streets.
The streets
that's what my parents
homeless.
did at
so,
14
so if
years
they
old.
Were homeless,
outside of being homeless, where else can you go as a child
shelter?
That your parents
a shelter,
but if we're talking about children here, we're talking about children. Children can't be in shelter by themselves. Where would they go?
They would go to protective. What is it called?
Foster care or be an orphan, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
Can they escape that orphanage, or do they have to stay there until they're of a certain age?
They can. I've known kids to run away from, but I mean, they get.
I'm not talking about who can sneak out the back door. I'm not talking about those kids. I'm talking about overall. It's to house the kids there, and they shouldn't be able to escape, right or wrong?
Right.
Exactly. So that's what this mess called. I'm not going to call it slavery. I'm going to say that's what this mess is all about. We're trying to stay in a house called life that we're being disrespectful. We are being nasty. We do not obey our creator, which is our father. We want to do what we want to do, and when you want to do that, it's fine. We have the choice, like your children, like our children have the choice to be disrespectful if they so choose, but then guess what? You can't stay here. You can't stay here and do that. And same with God. He says the same thing. We can't stay under his blessings if we do not want to obey his word. You know what I mean?
But,
so that's, how,
right,
you, that's
okay.
how you can understand where slavery came. And again, I'm going to call it a captivity. Let's call it that. I'm not going to call it slavery because slave in the Bible was when someone had a debt that they could not pay, then you can then for work off your debt. And it wasn't, you know, it was, again, like you were an employee to the person you were indebted for. That's why I'm not going to call it slave.
Yeah,
but we were
right.
in captivity as hostages. And the reason why I said hostages is because it was a condition involved in it. If you do what I tell you to do, are you guys want to come back home? Like if your kids say, okay, daddy, I get it. I want to come back home. I'm sorry. Get me out this foster home. I can't stay here no more. They're driving me nuts. Wouldn't you let your child come back home if they agree to do what you say do? Of course, right?
Yeah,
that's your
would.
Kid.
Yeah.
Same with the creator. Same with the creator. Unfortunately, it just was a repeated thing. that's all you're going to read. All the way down from Moses after getting out of Egypt. That's all they, sorry, Lord, and then back into worshiping idols. Sorry, Lord, and then back into doing with the Egyptians. Sorry, Lord, and then back to worshiping golden images. Or sorry, Lord, and then back, and then sorry, Lord. That's all you're going to read. Back and back and back and back and back and back and back. It's all you're going to read. It's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
But
so I feel
like
saying there is no such thing as white man teaching us about the Bible. That's why white people don't like us and can't stand that Bible. It's because it is about us. It's a big misconception that
they
taught us.
But then in slavery, they beat us during church. They would be in a church during slavery. They would be in a church. They would take. Because my great grandmother that just recently passed, she died at 145 years old. So she was actually in slavery. So my great great grandmother was telling me, like, you would be in church, and they would take up they would sell tokens to the white people, and then go find them a nigga, go find somebody that they want to hang in church. While they was preaching about God and Jesus and everything else, they would pick a nigga. That's where picnic comes from. Pick a nigga.
Right.
They would pick a nigga, and they would hang him, and then preach about God. Why are you hanging?
Yeah. Well, their God and our God is two different gods. Just because someone's saying the name, that's gold, oil, and the dollar. So you got to understand there's a difference between their God and our God.
Mm-hmm.
And also you have to understand is that people warned about churches like that from in the Bible. It calls them synagogues of hate. And obviously if you're Satan and you want to be God, you have to reflect and do the things that people that are trying to seek God do, which is go to church, which is, let's act like pastors. And you're not going to, even the gay people of today, you're not going to come across a gay person that hasn't been molested And where were they molested? In church, or by a deacon, or by a pastor, or by a priest. That's what the devil does. He'll have a man working on his behalf as a pastor or as a leader, but it's just to act like, you know what I mean? It's, that's not the reality. And you know what the funny thing is?
What?
People would say, what kind of God would allow that? And you know what my answer is to them?
What?
Why the hell would you allow it? You understand? Would you allow it? Well, didn't you say your grandmother used to sit up in church like that and see that going on?
No, my grandmother was a slave. My grandmother died at 120 some years old. She was a slave, so she had nothing to say about it. She was a slave. After Africa, when my family settled in New Orleans, we still own a plantation that my family got when they were freed from slavery. They still own that same plantation. After the slave master died, he gave the plantation to the slaves. And my family was the family. My great-great-grandmother was the one that was not a kid. She was a teenager at that time. So she inherited it. But when they left the plantation there. They took pictures. They went back to take pictures. But no one has ever lived there. No one's lived there in like 80-some years, 80, 90 years.
Maybe more than that.
It's like 80, 90 years now. Yeah. So I do know lineage, and I know where my family comes from before Africa. I know who we was worshiping before Africa, and it wasn't Jesus and it wasn't God. My grandmother told me that we were in tune with the stars and the moon. There was no Jesus before Africa. There was no Jesus, no God, none of that. We were in tune with the spirits. They come up with Jesus off of the pyramid walls that, you know, because and aliens and all that stuff is real. I talk about this stuff on my radio show. I don't have a lot of people calling to my radio show because, like I told you, people that talk real.
I'm surprised talking about that kind of stuff. People love that kind of stuff.
I mean, they call in, but they don't. You know how I'm talking with you right now. They don't do that. They want to either argue or be like. Because I've had even white people call into my radio show and call me a nigga talking about, I'm going to hang you when I see you. What? For real? I had to get a hold of Blog Talk and be like, yo, Blog Talk, this is the number that they're calling from. I need for you to block them because they keep on calling into my show. Because it got that crazy because I'm talking about stuff that can really actually help us. My great-great-grandmother told me that before slavery, we was not worshiping no Jesus. We wasn't worshiping no God. We was worshiping the stars and the sun because we are sun people. So we was worshiping the sun and the stars. There was no God. We were in tune with the universe because that's where we come from, the universe.
Well, we have to distinguish who we don't. When you say we were worshiping the stars and stuff, then you are not referring to the Israelites, because the Israelites are the chosen people of God, and they were the ones that were communicating with God.
Hold on, Curtis,
I gave you a chance to talk. And from the beginning of the Bible, Jesus was always prophet. I didn't say they was worshiping Jesus because Jesus was not around. He had not come to the earth to be a savior as of that time. But they were always talking about him. He was always mentioned in every book of that Old Testament. You will get an image of Jesus Christ. So when you say we, again, you have to distinguish who's we, because the Israelites, not black people, there's a difference between Africans, Israelites, and black people. Egyptians was black too, you know, so you have to distinguish who you talking about when you say black people. Don't say Israelites, because Israelites were the children of God, and they were black, and they worshiped God, and that's why they ended up in bad situations, because God did not, they wanted to merge and start doing the same things that the Egyptians was doing, and God did not play that, okay, and they tried to, God said, what ain't going over there with them then? And then they were being enslaved, like you said. Or then they were playing pick a nigga with them, because that's why God tells you, stay away from wicked and evil people. They didn't get it. They still wanted to keep doing and playing. Again, as a father, when you tell your children, yo, don't play with these kids. Those kids is bad. And if they start want to play, then you're going to get bad what comes with bad. That, you know, right. you that's why I tell you don't play with them, because they are bad. You know, how many people, you know, little girls ran home with their hair cut off. Oh, my friend cut my hair. What? Why she didn't cut her own hair? She cut your hair? That's called bad. You got people that are just bad. And if you hang around them, you're going to get what comes with hanging around bad people. So you are right. There were Africans, Egyptians that worshipped the sun, the moon. And I don't know nothing about those people. I am an Israelite, remnant, peculiar Israelite. And we worship God, which is, his name is Yahweh in Hebrew, and his name is Jehovah. Son name is Yahshua in Hebrew, and Jesus in English. That's who the Israelites worship, always have and always will. Now, the problem is there was some of us that wanted to be taught these things about worshiping the sun, moon, and stars and all that, but then they forgot that we have a jealous God that doesn't play that. And they got to see firsthand, again, it'll be the same people that we say, why do bad things happen to good people? Because they like to worship stars and moons and sun, as opposed to worshiping the creator that created the stars, the moon, and the sun. They like to worship their ancestors instead of worshiping the God that created the ancestors. Like, that's exactly why.
All right, exactly. I got one more question. I got another question for you. Well, not even a question, because I researched this. Do you know that there's over, I think it's like 12, well, in my research that I was looking, because my grandmother always told me to research. You want to talk about something, then research it. So I looked into how many Jesus Christ were born during the earth. They were a lot of different religions, and every different religion, well, how did it break it down? It said that Jesus Christ was not the only Messiah that had that was born December 12th, died when he died, had 12 disciples. It was more in every religion. Because I
let me ask you something. What did those other Jesus Christs redeem? Who did they redeem?
They were born around the same time.
Who did they redeem?
What do you mean redeem? Who did they bring out of slavery?
Messiah means a savior. That's Jesus Christ. His last name is not Christ. His name is Jesus. The Christ was our savior. So what I'm asking is these other Jesus Christs that you claim, these other messiahs, I'm asking you, who did they save?
Whoever they were around at that time. All you gotta do is look it up.
But you said you researched it, so I'm trying to figure out who did they save.
Yeah, the people that they were around at that time.
Saved them from where?
I mean, if you don't believe what I'm saying, all you gotta do is look it up for yourself.
I didn't say I didn't believe it. What I'm saying is, if you're gonna say something and say you researched it, then you should be prepared to answer the question. My question is, because you call them other messiahs and other Jesuses. So I'm trying to figure out. If you ask me that question, I could tell you what my Jesus
is.
Should know what happened to having a show. You should not cut off the host. What I'm asking you is, since you brought up these other Jesuses and you brought up these other messiahs, I'm not even agreeing with you or disagreeing. I'm just asking you, who did they save?
What do you mean? Who did Jesus save? He didn't save us. Because we still
humanity.
Went through slavery, and he sure ain't saving
hello,
us now.
Hello, did you ask me a question,
yes,
or was it rhetorical? Because you asked me, and then now you're giving the answer. Are you asking me who did Jesus save? I'm going to give you an answer.
You said
he
humanity.
Saved all of humanity.
But right now in Flint, Michigan, there's water that is killing little kids right now. But ain't Jesus
what does
saving,
that have to do with
Jesus ain't saving them.
I said, what does that have to do with Jesus?
Because we're his children. You just said that we're his children, right? So if we're his children.
No, I didn't tell you. Hello. I did not tell you we were Jesus' children. I told you we were the creator's children. Big difference.
Okay, the creator's children then. Well, the creator is not helping them people in Flint, Missouri. In Flint, Michigan.
You
want to
know why?
Why?
You want to know why?
Why?
Who has dominion? I'm trying to answer you. Who has dominion over this earth?
My answer to that is, if there's a Jesus out there and a God that's supposed to save us, why ain't he saving us? He ain't helped us out none. When the last time did
you
see Jesus or God help us?
I don't think
I'm
you answered my question.
I'm just saying.
Who has dominion over the earth?
We do. People.
We as in
human beings. Human beings. White people.
So
white
why would,
people.
Okay. Oh, excuse me?
Black people don't run none of this.
I don't know who you're talking about. Anyway, hold on. Don't jump the gun here, because I'm trying to ask you some questions because you brought this up.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start again. Who has dominion on the earth?
People.
You said humans, right? You said people.
White
right?
man. The white man. The white. It's like it's white men that control everything. The TVs that we listen to, the radios. They control everything.
Curtis, you just gave two different answers, so you have to give me one answer. Who has dominion over the earth?
Who has dominion over the earth is white men right now. They control everything that we watch, listen, in every way. They control the food that we eat, the water that runs through our pipes. White men do. We don't.
That's
control.
Sad.
Black people
that's
don't run
answer.
Shit.
That's
why is
really,
that? It's the truth.
I don't know what,
I'm only keeping it 1,000. Yes, ma'am.
Is that what you're doing? Well,
yes,
probably
I'm
because
the 1,000.
Probably because in that 1,000 that you keep in it, you serve ancestors, and that's probably the problem. Because outside of who you serve, if somebody asks me, the answer to that question is humans have dominion over this earth, not just white humans. All humans have dominion over this earth. So therefore, if there is a problem.
Okay, now. My fault. I'm talking to my son. My fault. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. Therefore, if there is a problem on the earth, then why would you be praying to a spiritual God when he gave man dominion over this earth? And when I say man, I'm not talking about white man. I'm talking about human beings. Because your answer is incorrect. Your answer is half one-sided. He gave humans dominion over this earth. As a human being, you have dominion in this earth. So I'm asking you, why would you be praying and waiting for God to do something in Flint, Michigan, when he gave humans dominion in this earth? Isn't those other humans operating their dominion right to pollute the water? So why wouldn't other humans that have to live in a polluted water, why wouldn't they operate their human rights and get the problem taken care of?
All right, that's like, okay, so to answer that question, like how you were saying, people control the world. Human beings control the world. They control everything. Without human beings, nothing would be running, period.
Let me stop you for a second. Hold on. Let me stop you for a second. There's a difference between the earth and the world. Don't say humans control the world. Say the humans control the earth. And there's a reason why I'm separating it. But go ahead.
All right. So, for instance, I post this on Facebook. People don't like what the hell I post. And if you look at my profile pic, it said, this my motherfucking Facebook, and if you don't like it, you can fucking delete me. So what I be posting, I post real stuff because the same group that I found you in, they post the same type of stuff. And that's why I'm a part of that group, because they preach and they talk real stuff. A lot of people don't like them groups because they talk about real stuff. One thing that I found out in that group was I found the post, and it's so real, Dom. It said that in Flint, Michigan right now, you know, it's people that live there that can't even feed their children. The newborn babies are dying right now in Flint, Michigan, because the mothers cannot nourish the child because the water that they drink has all kind of gunk and stuff in it, right? But then we talk about God and the preachers and everything, right? But I know a preacher myself, T.D. Jakes. I've known this man personally. This man is worth $300 million. Benny Hinn, met the man personally. Kenneth Hagin, met the man personally. I've met all these preachers in person, and these men are worth millions of dollars, but you can't get no money back to them. But people come into your church on every Sunday, Wednesday, or whatever day and give tithes and offerings. But what does God need with our money, Don? Do you see where I'm coming from?
Let me ask you a question, Curtis. Do you live in a house or apartment?
Yes,
no, don't you live in a structure? Does that cost money to live in? Do you pay bills there?
What does God need with our money?
I didn't ask you that.
Okay,
I said, do you live in a house and don't you have bills to pay?
Yeah, but it's not $300 million, though.
Curtis, I think you're missing. You asked me a question, and then I'm answering you. So why, when I ask you stuff, you don't answer me? This is not a show about ranting off. This is
yes,
a show
ma'am.
About dealing with questions
live in,
and answers. Okay,
yes, ma'am. I do live in a house. I do
does
pay rent,
cost,
lights, gas, water.
Hello. Does that
yes, ma'am.
Stuff
I'm
cost
serious.
Money?
Yes, ma'am.
Does that stuff cost money?
Yes, ma'am.
What is your employment title?
My employee, I own my own radio station. I own my own shoe brand. I'm
okay,
a producer.
So you make money doing that, right? Hello?
I don't overcharge.
Hello? You make money doing that, right?
I don't overcharge, yes. I do make money.
Well,
I make a little bit of money off
that.
Of it.
You know what, Curtis? I think you went in defensive for no apparent reason. And this show is we ask questions and then we answer them, okay? And then we give our opinions. Right now, I'm asking you a question. I'm not judging you. You were the one that shifted the call in this direction, and I'm glad because it's still relevant. It's still relevant. That's the only reason why I'm allowing it. However, if you're going to ask me questions, I've answered all your questions you've asked me. Now I'm asking you questions because you're the one that brought up T.D. Jakes and all these pastors. And the reason why I have a problem with people doing that is because they try to act. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing. I'm trying to make sure that's not what you're doing. That's why I'm asking you these necessary questions so I don't put you in the same box as these other people, which is blame pastors for things that they not even doing themselves, okay? And that's why I asked you, do you live in a house? Don't you make your own money? And then I asked you what your profession was. Likewise, these people, that's their profession to be a pastor. They operate a mega church that costs mega ducats to run. Why do you have and they are also teaching people how to function on this earth, teaching people about the dominion they have as a human being so that when things like that happen in Flint, Michigan, they don't blame God. They'll then operate as a human being on this earth and then go and do something about it, okay, as opposed to sitting around crying and saying, what kind of God would do something with the water? And they would just get up and do as opposed to sitting around and blaming, okay? So I'm not trying to put you in that box because you, as a grown man with children, living in a house and you have a profession as well and you make money in your profession as well, okay? There is no difference with the pastors except for what they do. That is their profession, okay? Tithes was that's a whole nother thing. You asked me, what does God need with our money? He is the creator of the universe, sweetheart. He doesn't need our money. He never did. However, now that us humans have adapted to operating in a man-made system as opposed to the godly setup of just eating animals that we have in our backyard and fishing and hunting and living off our natural resources, now that we have adopted to this man-made system of money, then things...
Which isn't real.
Hello? Didn't I just say that? Man-made means it ain't real. So why would you say, what does God need with our money? You see how ignorant of a statement that is? And
no,
hold
I
your
don't.
Thought on that because we just... you don't? Okay.
No.
You just asked why does God need our money? And I'm asking you, I'm saying to you, you're damn right he don't need our money. So just because you sit in church and you give 10%, which is... If you got 10 bottles of soda and you give somebody one bottle, that doesn't affect it at all. But it'd be the same people that be talking about these pastors that don't have a problem with their paycheck giving out almost 50% of their paycheck to the government. They won't say two shits about it. They won't attend any of the town meetings to find out where their taxes is going and what's being done with their taxes. But they sit around and blame the pastors for everything. I have a problem with people that do that.
No,
so,
I'm not blaming the pastors. No,
like
I'm not blaming the pastor. I'm only going off of what I see. See, you may not be around them people before. But I've been around
now,
them.
Those people, listen, the people that you said, I've been in a live or a live gathering with all of them. That's
so
why I know what they
tables,
do.
So you've sat at tables and ate with these people before?
I didn't say that. I said, okay, I see.
I mean, that's
said,
what I'm saying.
I've been at a live gathering with the people you brought up. P.D. Jakes, I
so
saw
were,
live. Okay, Benny
right,
Hinn, I
you,
saw live. Now
see,
let me bring up another name. Hello, Curtis. I'm going to bring up a name you didn't bring up. Creflo Dollar, for
what?
Example. He has a really, very
okay.
bad reputation.
Him too.
Hold on. He has a very bad reputation, right? Now let me explain something to you. No one knows that his church houses, it has a whole bunch of resources for homeless people. You can come to Creflo Dollar's church as a homeless person. You're going to get a job. You're going to get clothes. You're going to get fed. And they don't just give you handouts. They assist you to get back into life and function as a human being back into society. Big difference between somebody standing on a corner and begging for $20. What they do is they train you how to go to a job interview. They give you clothes to wear to the job interview. They have clothes there. They'll put you in communication with these other resources that may not, let's say, not everything is welfare. You know, welfare is not giving you clothes. Welfare doesn't teach you how to get training and schooling and all this other stuff. Creflo Dollar's ministry does all of that stuff. So when you're hearing that he's just sitting around trying to get a $65 million airplane, there is shit about these pastors you don't hear. That's what pisses me off, because I know personally what these organizations do. But then when I hear people like, I'm not going to say like you, because you said that's not what you're about to, you saying you're not blaming them. But what I'm saying is I have a problem with ignorant people always want to blame somebody, but they not doing nothing themselves. Now, be the one that's doing it. Have you took it? Let me ask you something. Have you taken a trip to Michigan?
No, but I got
Hello?
Family there, fair enough. And
I
no,
said,
ma'am.
I said, have you taken a trip to Michigan?
I got
what
a cousin that lives in Michigan.
Price? What have you done
I have
about
a
the
cousin.
World
Miss, can I finish saying what I was going to try to say? I have a cousin that lives in Flint, Michigan. I sent him money to try to help as much as I could. So I don't have $1 million to give them people new water, but I do have a cousin that lives there in Flint, Michigan right now.
Let me ask you something. What is money going to do about the water crisis out there? Besides buy more water, what is it going to do?
Have they tried to
you
do anything? Has Jay-Z tried to do anything?
Curtis,
has Beyonce?
Curtis,
has all these big name people did anything?
Curtis,
have they did anything?
Curtis, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Curtis,
yes,
let me
ma'am.
Ask you something. What would you think they in that water crisis because of finances? Is that what you're telling me?
Like I just
is
said,
that
Miss Lady. Miss Lady, like I just said, I have a family member that lives there.
I
sent
heard
him
that.
Some
I
money
said, do you think
because
the
I can't,
people
I,
in Michigan
I,
are in that situation because they don't have enough money to fix the problem? I said, is that what you
No,
said?
I think they're in that fucking
All
situation because
right.
they ain't standing the fuck up and saying something
so why
to black people.
Are you
because Flint,
that
Michigan.
Have money and saying
well,
because
well,
they're not giving
well, okay,
up no money,
well,
that's why the problem
Miss
is still
Lady, first of all, you have to realize
like
that Flint,
said.
Michigan. First of all, you have to remember that Flint, Michigan is 85% black people. I did my research. It's 85% black people. That ain't going
to
happen in Nashville, where it's mostly
Please
white people.
I said to you, what is money going to do about the situation?
It
and
may not help
you,
much, but, it, but I'll try.
You're sitting in that situation because they don't
yeah,
have enough money? Is that what you think? Yeah, because you don't want to hear the truth. You want to sit around like everybody else, blaming everybody. Anyway, there's a number 615-578-2872. Would you like to announce yourself and make a comment now that the now this whole showed and took a wrong, I'm not going to say a wrong turn, but we got a little bit off topic. Would you like to introduce yourself or no?
Peace and blessings, Mr. Shamika. This is Brother Muhammad. How are you doing today?
You know me, shucking and ducking. Hi, Brother Muhammad. Thank you so much for my show. You see, there's always one, right? You see, there's always. How are you? And
you know, you stay on the battlefield, that's for sure.
Tell me about
it. Lord, have mercy. You stay on that battlefield.
Man. So the show was titled why do bad things happen to good people? Do you have an opinion about why does bad things happen to good people, or do you disagree that there is no such thing as bad things happening to good people? What's your stance on that, Brother Muhammad?
That's a good question. I think bad things happen to people, period, whether you're good or bad. I think things happen. A lot of the things that do happen, sometimes we cause it to happen because we're not in doing what's supposed to be done as right. But I do believe a lot, like you said, that most people sit back and make excuses and blame others for things that we allow in our lives. You know, we have to be able to take responsibility for what we do and take responsibility for what we don't do. And when we people begin to live our lives accepting our responsibility to do what is right, regardless of who or what, then things will change. One thing that I noticed, and I was talking to Sister Misty about it the other day, when one of the people that live in Flint were talking, and she was saying, well, she's not going to walk so far to go get no water for her and her children. And I had a problem with that because my thinking is,
you need water,
but you're not going to walk to where the place is to get the water for you and your children? So you're going to sit your lazy behind down and cry and beg for somebody to do. Wait for somebody to do what you can get up off your butt and do yourself. See, I have a problem with
her
that.
Children. And she won't even make the sacrifice for children, but they want the rest of the world to make sacrifices.
Exactly.
And you see how only wisdom can see that. You know what I mean, Brother Muhammad? Only wisdom can see people like that and know that if you're not even willing to make a sacrifice like that for your own self and your own children, who the hell are you? Who are you? And that's what that's what's so funny about the show is titled Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Because you know how many people are sitting around the world and saying, oh my God, all those good people, I can't believe it. What is God? What is... Blaming God. And again, I'm not saying bad people are sitting in Michigan. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, is it bad things happening to good people? Is really? Is that what's really going on? You understand what I'm saying? We don't look at the things we should look at. All we do is we crown people who we think is good. You know, that's what we do as human beings. We look at the outward. We don't know what's going on in that person's heart. We don't know what's going on in that person's household or what's going on in that person's mind. We don't know how that person even treats their children, you know, or treats their husband or treats their wife. But the first thing we do is, if they got a problem or they have to run to the hospital because they got sick, the first thing we do is, oh, my God, you know, she volunteers at the kennel. That lady would not hurt a fly. I can't believe good things happen to I can't believe all this bad things is happening to her. Because that's all we see. And thank God you, and that's just a little glimpse of saying, damn, we sent water out there. All she got to do is go pick it up, and she's not even willing to make a sacrifice and go. I can see if she said, no, I'm in a wheelchair, I can't go. But she's just like, nah, I ain't going all the way over there to get the... That already shows you the type of character we are dealing with, you know. And unfortunately, not too many of us are able to judge, I'm going to say judge righteously like that, because we don't have that gift of wisdom and discernment to do so. Another person wouldn't even have pointed that out. No one pointed that out.